The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is someone I've been trying to get on my show since I began the show a year ago. So this is a lesson in how patience and persistence really pays off, people. Let me tell you. Mix Justin Vivian Bond is a writer, singer, painter, performance artist, and activist. This year, Powerhouse Books published Susie Says, a collaboration between Bond and Gina Guerin. Last year, V's album Dendrophile was released and V's book Tango, My Childhood Backwards and in High Heels was published by the Feminist Press. Justin Vivian's art exhibition, The Fall of the House of Whimsy, was featured at Participant Inc. in New York City. Mix Bond was nominated for a Tony Award for Kiki and Herb, Alive on Broadway in 2007, and has won Obie, Bessie, and Ethel Eichelberger Awards. Justin Vivian Bond uses the trans prefix Mix instead of Mr. or Mrs., and the trans pronoun V instead of he or she. And V has actually persuaded mainstream media like the New York Times and The Economist to follow suit, which is a feat in and of itself these days. So welcome to Sex Out Loud, Justin Vivian Bond.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
I'm excited to be here, finally.
Oh, good. I just reread your book in preparation for the show on the train yesterday. And so I want to start with you sharing a brief excerpt of your book, Tango, My Childhood Backwards and in High Heels. It's a tender and brutally honest and wonderful memoir about you growing up in Maryland. I don't know that I need to set it up some more. You can if you want, but otherwise the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, this is a little section. I don't know how long it'll be, but it won't be too long. I'll just read it for you. Iced Watermelon by Revlon, a frosted pink lipstick you could buy at most drugstores in the late 1960s, was my mother's color of choice. When I was in first grade, I got into the habit of applying my mother's Iced Watermelon lipstick before I set off for school. I don't know how many days I got away with it, but I do know that I felt confident when I walked out the door. Knowing that my lipstick was in place, I could safely face the world, having enhanced my beauty with a color that my mother, who was clearly a beautiful woman as well, had chosen. If given the chance, would I have chosen a different color, a hue more unique and self-revelatory? I'll never know. I didn't have my own income at that time or transportation to the drugstore. I made do with what was at hand. I don't recall anyone at school having a problem with my lipstick. My teacher, Mrs. Bivens, never said anything. Mrs. Bivens had her own grammar rituals. Every morning, I looked forward to seeing Mrs. Bivens lead the Pledge of Allegiance in her high-heeled shoes. I recall blue leather, a standard shoe for a Republican woman, and yet, by modern standards, a bit of an extravagant choice considering the only people who saw her in them were a class full of six-year-olds. And yet she displayed a commitment to her self-image and what she clearly thought was appropriate attire. After lunch, when we returned from recess, Mrs. Bivens usually slipped into a sensible flat. This was her ritual, and she practiced it every day like clockwork. We all need rituals. I decided that putting on lipstick would be one of mine. I don't know how many days passed, how many carefree days, walking the block and a half to Pangbourne Elementary School like a movie star or a morning television star. We didn't have color TV at home, but I could tell even from the small black and white set that sat on our kitchen counter that Barbara Walters, co-hostess of the Today Show, was wearing frosted lipstick. So I left the house, an intrepid reporter like Barbara, who had interviewed Fidel Castro, ready to face any tyrant with confidence. Any tyrant but my mother, who one morning intercepted me as I was about to leave the house. "What is on your lips?" she asked me in what I could only register as horror. I froze in fear, not sure what to say. I opted for what I thought at the time was the truth. "It's my lipstick." "That's not your lipstick, that's my lipstick. What are you doing with that lipstick on your face?" "Well, I'm going to school. You don't leave the house without your lipstick, so I thought I should wear lipstick too." "Boys don't wear lipstick," she shouted, as if this was something I should know, and using that word boy, which grated against the very fiber of my being every time it was applied to me. "But, Mom, I've been wearing it every day. No one cares." "You've been wearing lipstick to school for days? How many days?" "I don't know," I was crying, "but it's okay." "No, it's not." She marched me to the bathroom and wiped it off my lips. I left for school that day defeated, disappointed, and bland. It would take me another 20 years before I realized it was okay to leave the house with my lipstick. Now that I'm in my 40s, frosted pink seems a little too coquettish for a person of my stature. But looking back, I think that frosted pink is a perfect color for a little trans child in first grade. At that time, I certainly wasn't allowed to think of myself as a trans child, much less decide what color lipstick was appropriate for me. So many of my thoughts and feelings and ideas became fractured when I was young. So much second-guessing informed every decision that I made, that I became a paradox in a way, a combination of bravado and insecurity. The scrutiny I was under by the vigilant gender police kept me aware that my first choice should always be followed by a second or a third choice before any decision was ever made. That way of thinking permeated my life and has kept me from moving quickly on any impulse for most of it. There we go.
Wow, that is one of my favorite stories about the lipstick. And this brings up a fascinating point about you. You know, you talk in the voice of, you know, you bring us back to this time quite vividly and wonderfully, but you also have this reflective quality of looking back on how it was now from your perspective. And
uh-huh.
You talk in the book about being diagnosed as an adult with attention deficit disorder, or mm-hmm. ADD, ADHD, and how when you could see some of your childhood experiences through that lens, that really resonated with you. But you also said something that really was fascinating to me. I just want to read a little piece, if I can. This is a quote. "People say there's an unusually high percentage of queer people with ADD. My theory is that because we know from a very early age that we're different, and because we never really know who the enemy is or who might turn on us at any minute, we become hypervigilant about everything that is going on around us. Perhaps attention deficit disorder is a misnomer. Maybe it should be called hyperattention awareness. It's not that we can't pay attention to anything in specific. It's that we're trying very hard to pay attention to everything in general as a self-defense mechanism." And this really speaks to some of the incredible stories you tell in the book. I mean, you do seem remarkably detail-oriented. You remember things like Liza Minnelli's nail polish color in Cabaret and the way this treehouse smelled in the summer. And you're so clearly very sensitive. And I'm wondering if for you, is that more of a blessing or more of a curse?
I think that it's a blessing. The only thing that makes it difficult is I think it's a blessing. I mean, I think that for me as an artist and for the way that I create work and for the way that I think, it's great because it's what makes me, I think, unique because of my my associative quality that my brain works, the way that my brain works, makes it fun for me to perform and improvise, and it, I think, makes me a good storyteller because, if something happens in my brain, I trust it. It was one of the first things I learned that worked for me as a performer was that when you are self-consciously judging yourself while you're speaking or creating, that it then becomes a block. But if you can just commit to the fact that you sort of know that whatever your brain puts together as it's coming out, and I'm not saying you shouldn't think before you speak, but I think if you are a person who sort of walks a path of a certain level of integrity, that you can at least trust yourself not to say something completely out of character and offensive. And if you do, then that's something that you should take responsibility for and look at. So I think that it's a blessing. And I think the reason it is a blessing and the reason I've been able to come to that is because I spend a lot of time in Jungian analysis and being in touch with the kind of, subconscious way of accessing a deeper connection with myself through that that exploration, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And what struck me when you read the piece, which I didn't pick up on, and I've read it twice now, but when you read it, was that your mother didn't notice for days that you were leaving the house in lipstick.
Yes, I don't know how many days I did it, but I do know I did it several days before, and the reason I know is because years later, in maybe fifth or sixth grade, there was this other kid who was talking to me about who was in my first grade class, who was talking to me about how I used to show up for school wearing lipstick. And if my mother hadn't had, that day she would have taken my lipstick off. So there had to be other days before that when I did show up in lipstick because other people remembered it.
Yeah. Okay, well, we need to take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors who make the show possible. But coming up, we will talk more with Justin Vivian Bond about this incredible memoir, Tango, as well as V's other work in a variety of mediums. So stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Good Vibrations is one of my incredible sponsors. It's a San Francisco-based retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, safe, and welcoming environment to find sex-positive, quality products and educational materials to enhance and empower your sex life. Exciting news is that they are opening a brand new store. This will be their eighth store, and it's in the heart of Silicon Valley, Palo Alto, California. This is all happening in October, and as soon as I have more details, I will let you know. In the meantime, you can go to goodvibes.com and use the coupon code TristanGoodVibes for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. Today, we're talking to Justin Vivian Bond, and we heard an excerpt of Viv's wonderful memoir about Viv's childhood, Tango. At the center of the story is this longstanding secret relationship you had with this boy named Michael from the time you were 11 to 16. And one of the fascinating things about this is that he publicly humiliated and berated you in public, but secretly was, well, really into you. I'm just gonna take a leap and say it seems like Michael was really into you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your earliest sexual relationship. It's also an early introduction to sexual role play. And it's funny because I have a very similar story from growing up. Both the person who introduced me to sort of power play and role play was a girl and was someone who later bullied me in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering when you look back and see when you look at that, can you figure out, having done this analysis, what that relationship meant and may have imprinted on you early? Because there were so many mixed messages.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, I mean, I feel that one of the reasons I wrote the book was because I wanted to sort of think of ways of making a sort of an ethical sexuality for children. Or to not have a hysterical response to the idea of sexuality between children. And I think part of what I realized was that, of course, we were pubescent, so we were extremely horny. We found each other to be sexual partners with. And we, enjoyed that aspect of our relationship. But what was confusing was that we were, I was raised by parents who were not very comfortable with discussing sexuality. And so, you know, I was raised in an environment where we were just taught that you did not have sex until you were married, and that if you did, it was a sin. And then, of course, if you were not having sex with someone of the opposite gender, it was basically an abomination. So, and I believe in that regard, he was raised in the same way. So we had something, there was something in each of us that both of us hated about ourselves, and we saw it in the other person, and that made us hate the other person because it made us aware of something that we were ashamed of within ourselves. So I think that for me, I sort of was, you know, more female identified, so I just thought, you know, well, I was in the wrong gender, but I also had these sort of older cousins who were all girls that were kind of very snide in a way, and, you know, sort of put men and other and put boys down and as their way of, you know, they were sarcastic about men and sort of like Cher was with Sonny. And so that's how I sort of treated him, like just an annoying puppy. And his only way to really get back at me was to humiliate me by calling me a fag and all these things. And so I think in the book I make it clear that I, you know, sort of tortured him in certain ways too. But he was very, you know, homophobic, and he sort of led that rallying cry of branding me out gay, and I was really uncomfortable with it because I just, that wasn't how I saw myself. Let me see, I feel like I'm rambling now.
No, this is all great. But one of the things this also raises is that in terms of a trans coming of age story, there are certainly familiar moments like the story you told about your mom's lipstick, but I wouldn't call this a typical trans narrative. One of the reasons is that you don't continually assert that you were born in the wrong body, which is kind of a repetitive theme in other narratives.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there doesn't seem to be a great war with your body per se. It just seems more complex for you than that. Is that accurate?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't characterize it as more complex than someone who is going through a serious disassociation with their own body. But I would say that when I wrote the book, I wasn't really writing it as a trans memoir. I was writing it about this relationship with this person, and it wasn't until after it was published that people started really picking up on the issue of it being trans, because I wasn't thinking in those terms, because I just think of myself as trans. And I think, you know, it wasn't until after I wrote the book, really, or just before it came out, I'm trying to think, where I really, you know, decided that I was just going to throw down the gauntlet about my gender. And I've never felt comfortable saying that I'm transsexual, because I don't feel like I don't feel like that I was trapped in the wrong body. I just felt that my body didn't fully reflect who I was. You know, if I could, I don't want to, I don't know if I should, I wouldn't want to remove anything from my body. I would like to add things. I want to have it all. I don't want to get rid of anything. So when people say, you know, you are a man or you are a woman and you have to be one or the other, I resent that, because I'm not a man or a woman. And so feeling that I'm, you know, everything, I'm sort of not even in the middle. I feel like I have all of the characteristics of both of those things, and I think everybody does, frankly. But people choose to inhabit a space that they're comfortable in, and I feel uncomfortable being limited to a space because it makes other people more comfortable.
Well, I think what you just articulated is what it really is reflected in this book, even at a young age. There seemed to be this level of fluidity with your gender and a shocking lack of anxiety about about the nuance, I guess, in a world which is incredibly nuanced. And of course, you grew up in a family that was openly homophobic, religious, and yet you seem to sort of like say, this is me from a really young age.
Well, I didn't. I was limited by, narrowing in that my life had to endure, meaning that I wasn't free to explore a lot of what excited me and thrilled me and made me happy, because my time and my energy was being taken by an agenda that was set by my family, by society, by the people I knew. So, I wouldn't have been able to articulate this then, but, you know, looking back, I feel like, you know, so much of what thrilled and inspired me had to remain in my imagination, inside myself, while I was going to swim meets or to band practice. I didn't want to, you know, things
Boy Scouts,
that they thought
Boy
would
Scouts
be better
also.
For me to socialize me in a way that they felt would be more appropriate and would that they would be more comfortable with. And so, it wasn't like it was a kind of a conviction on my part. It was a frustration, really. But it was there. I mean, I never felt that I guess you could just say, sort of, I had a kind of arrogance about it because I didn't ever believe that I was wrong about the way I felt about myself. Although I did think, you know, oh, well, if I had to make a choice, I would rather be a woman. And I prayed to be one night after night after night. And I would make deals with God like, oh, God, I won't masturbate for 6 months. If at the end of 6 months, I'll wake up and be a woman. Because I was raised a Christian. So I thought, okay, so I have to be, I have to wake up and be a woman. And then no one I know can remember that I was ever anything but a woman. So I had like all these scenarios going in my mind about how God could make that possible, that I would be a woman and then I would be much happier. But I think that, sure, that would have been great. But now that I've been alive for 50 years, I've somehow managed to think, you know, I wouldn't want to have to give up my history in order to be a woman. So I'm just everything.
You're everything. Yes. Okay, we're going to take another break and hear from our great sponsors. There is a fabulous sex toy that is good for people of any gender, and that is lube. Astroglide Lube will offer you a free sample when you go to their website at astroglide.com. So check it out. Coming up, more with Justin Vivian Bond, and we're going to hear a little music. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Experience love with a little help from nature's soothing ingredients with Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant. This all-natural and botanical formula lets you get in touch with your wild side, all while keeping it green. Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant is glycerin, paraben, and alcohol-free, and it's made with aloe vera, vitamins C and E, and chamomile. But with the same second-only-to-nature feel that you get with your regular Astroglide. Visit astroglide.com to get your free sample and start hitting it green between the sheets today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today we are talking with the incomparable Justin Vivian Bond. Justin Vivian, one of your latest albums is called Dendrophile, and I thought we might play a little sample of it for folks. Let's take a little listen to a clip.
San Francisco, long ago, I made my living hooking on Polk Street and the old black rose. My eye was always looking for some dumb man to pay my rent and some young man to love me. With so many heaven said, I thank the stars above me. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. The queens and the hustlers of the red light zones never did desert me. The scent of men and prospectors, they drift up from the grubstake, where I shared so many cheeseburgers with my hustler.
That was an excerpt from your cover of Bambi Lake's The Golden Age of Hustlers. And you recently did a Kickstarter to raise money to make a short film slash music video for it. How is that going? Has that video been made yet? Is it out? Where can we find it?
I have absolutely no idea. We shot it in June, and I haven't heard a word about it since. They said they didn't expect it to be ready until the fall, and I've been touring and doing my own thing since then, so I haven't called Silas to get an update, but I imagine it will be out soon. I know that we had a fantastic time shooting it, and we had terrific people in it, and Bambi's on a film, vintage film, doing a kind of a cameo. She's our sort of goddess in the background, and Kate Bornstein's in it, and a bunch of amazing young queers from New York, which is sort of fantastic because they were all joining us in paying homage to the queers of San Francisco. So, and San Francisco's where Silas and I met. So it's going to be beautiful when it's ready. I just don't know when that's going to be.
Okay, so you're in post-production. We'll just call that post-production.
Yes, post-pro.
I love this album. I'm also a big fan of Silver Wells. I wanted to play a song from that, but I felt like I should be more current. And this brings me to one of your other latest projects, which is that you're currently in residence at Joe's Pub, where your new show, Mix America, will be playing September 20th to October 5th. People can go to Joe's Pub's website and get tickets right now. I had the opportunity to see Mix America at the Spiegel Tent at Bard College this summer, and it's really, really fantastic. I mean, I loved it.
Thank you.
So the show is described like this. This is a quote from promotional material. As the singular finalist in the Mix America pageant, Justin Vivian Bond is judged in such categories as presentation, economic status, mental health, family values, and talent, all while creating an elegantly formidable evening of beauty and delight. This multimedia performance includes video, spoken word, and original songs from V's critically acclaimed records, Dendrophile and Silver Wells. It is an exploration of ways of seeing and being seen as a patriot, a gender nonconformist, and a cabaret artist in America. On stage, you have this very fabulous persona who is quite complicated. A theme is beginning to emerge. I see my analysis of you. I mean, this person is part a socialite who's quite comfortable being self-involved. And also there's a sort of a smoldering chanteuse in there. And then there's this like radical freak artist activist who feels very much born and raised in the streets of the East Village in the 1990s. Your persona is quite slippery.
Well, it's a good thing that there's a lube sponsoring this show.
I mean, tell me how this show came about.
Well, I wanted to do a show... Just from a very technical show business perspective, I love musicians, and I've worked with musicians for all of my records, and I had a terrific 15-year collaboration with Kenny Melman, but I play piano, and I wanted to do a show that it would be possible to tour inexpensively, and I wanted to do something that incorporated aspects of my own, I guess you would say, various elements of my capabilities. So, because anyway, so I play piano, I do watercolor, visual art, so I wanted to combine all that, and I wanted it just to be me on stage so that it would be inexpensive to tour, and because I just thought it would really be fun to do something that just had all those elements combined. And so I put this show together because I really was... I was inspired by this quote that my my friend's father said, which is that you can tell the depth of a person's tragedy by the amount of space between how they see themselves and how they're seen by others.
And okay, stop. This, like, hit me like a ton of bricks from the audience when you said it. I mean, like, it knocked me on my ass. It's so... incredible. I mean, it like stayed with me since then.
Mm-hmm.
You can, so I want you to say it again so people can hear it, so it can sink in.
The depth of a person's tragedy can be measured by the distance, or Jesus, now you got me all self-conscious.
I'm sorry, I'll read it.
The depth of a person's tragedy can be judged by the amount of space between how they see themselves and how they're seen by others. And I think that is really true. And the reason I took that and made this show is because as a trans person and how I see myself, which has been obviously, if you read my book, one way, and how I've been seen by others and how I've sort of over the years more and more begun to demand to be seen as I see myself, the frustration of being seen that way. And I think that's how many trans people, whether you're a trans man, a trans woman, or a gender queer, you're trying to negotiate something that goes deeper than a surface perception. And within yourself and with the people that you engage with. So that's a really interesting thing. And then I also think that because we as Americans are raised to believe that we're this sort of moral conscience for the world, and we're out doing all these things, as evidence with Syria right now. I don't know what's right and what's wrong there, but I do know that, you know, if we're going on our own to show the world that we are going to stand up for what we believe is right, if we had a real moral authority, it seems to me more people would be joining us. But our moral authority has been undermined by the choices that we've made in the past. So we are at conflict between how we see ourselves and how we are seen by others, and it is leading to really tragic results. So that was my, that's what I took from that quote, and I think it's a beautiful quote.
And this notion of patriotism, which kind of runs throughout, not only is it a takeoff on Miss America, and there's some American flag stuff, but this notion of patriotism feels, and identity, individual identity, national identity, feels very, very, very current. I'm wondering how you measure the amount of space between how you see yourself and how you're seen by others, and how that space, what direction is that space going in?
Well, I mean, that's where my, I guess you would say, that's the sand in my oyster. because it is something that it creates a friction in my life. And out of that friction, I think, comes my need to express myself and to create and to be an artist and to find way avenues to present myself to people. And I like that you said that, you know, in this character I play someone who's like a socialite who's very self-absorbed, because obviously I think artists are self-absorbed, but I don't think I'm probably any more self-absorbed than the average person, but I use that interest in myself as, or self-examination as, a way of finding a truth for myself to present to people. And I think that because of what I'm trying to do is reach a level of honesty or insight or clarity within myself, and sharing that with the audience, it becomes something that is also beneficial, hopefully, to the audience, because I think a lot of people are more interested in concealing themselves than revealing, because many people are trying to be something other than what they are, and I've been trying my whole life to become what I am.
And that's sense. Why, I guess, it makes perfect sense. And that's why I think it's also incredibly subversive for a trans person to be comfortably self-absorbed. I mean, that's the dichotomy, the sort of seeming paradox of this piece of yourself that's shown in the show. And it's not all you are, but there's a layer there, and that I just found sort of delightful. Okay, we've got to take another break. Coming up, do you want to smell like Justin Vivian Bond? Well, you can. I will tell you why after this break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I want to give some shout outs to some of my sponsors, including WeVibe. The WeVibe 3 is now remote controlled, waterproof, and even more powerful. To find out more, you can go to WeVibe.com. And I want to remind you that we are a proud sponsor of Catalyst Con, an incredible sex positive event. The next one is Catalyst Con West, September 27th to the 29th in Woodland Hills, California. You can register at catalystcon.com and use coupon code Tristan for $10 off your registration. I will be recording special episodes of Sex Out Loud in front of a live studio audience there, as well as doing several presentations. And on Friday, giving two of my sex educator boot camps. So find out more, catalystcon.com. We've been talking to Justin Vivian Bond, who is a sort of a renaissance person, is doing so many things, and you have a new perfume. This is really exciting. It's called The Afternoon of a Fawn, and you did it with Etat Libre d'Orange, which is very fucking fancy perfume, people. So tell me how this came about and what the fragrance is like.
Well, I had several years ago, I was just looking at my Facebook wall, and there was this person who's a perfume blogger called The Left Coast Nose, who did this blog where she was imagining what I smelled like, which was completely flattering. It was one of the more sort of out of left field kind of crazy things that I just was like, wow, that is so cool. And she, I can't remember the exact scent, but it was by Hermes. And I went with a friend of mine up to Madison Avenue, and we went into Hermes to see what she thought I would smell like. And it was kind of funky, but I liked it. And then I started thinking, oh, God, it would be so wonderful to really have my own scent. And I put that in the back of my mind, and I had this way of sort of, the way I manifest things is I kind of put something on the horizon and just keep my eye on it and sort of draw it to me. So I decided I wanted to have a scent of my own, and I started researching scent and reading it and finding out as much as I could about how to make it and, you know, just ensconcing myself in the whole world of fragrance. And I talked to Leah Gangitano at Participant, where I ultimately had my solo exhibition, and she had worked on a scent, and so we talked with this other guy, and we started kind of brainstorming, and that didn't work out. And then I mentioned it to my friend Tilda Swinton, who had recently done a scent with a Talib Radarange, and she said, but darling, you've got to make a scent with them. And so I said, okay, and she invited me to the launch of her fragrance, which is called Like This, at Bindle's, and I wrote a little essay on what I wanted my scent to be like, and wrote a note to the creative director of the company who I'd met, and he was very enthusiastic about it. And then I was in Paris, and I just stopped in their store and went to the office, and we talked it over and decided to do it. And so I made this scent called The Afternoon of a Fawn, which I initially said I wanted to smell like a touch of taint on the no-lit twilight, which, because I'm a radical fairy, it's, you know, one of the sort of thrilling moments is when you're dancing, you know, by the bonfire, and everybody's half naked in the middle of the night, and then you sort of scurry off into the woods and lift some gorgeous boy's skirt and go at it in the grass next to a bed of flowers. And I thought, well, that's what I want my fragrance to smell like. And you know what? I think it does.
I think it does too. I mean, I smelled it from a distance at the show. I am wildly allergic to perfume. And so when you came out into the audience to spray everyone, I actually had to get up and go in the back. But I did, I smelled this sort of essence of it, and it was quite something.
It's very nice. It's sort of earthy, but it's floral. I wanted it to be sort of vaguely sexual without being overpoweringly so. And I wanted it something to be something that, you know, is a trans scent. So I wanted to make something for the person, is my sort of tagline, for the person who is everything, because I didn't want it to be unisex, because that sounds so clinical. I just wanted something that expands, you know, that can fit into a kind of, you know, imaginary landscape for you to place yourself when wearing it.
Mm. I love that. Well, I'm certainly going to gift it to people.
Oh,
because
good.
Just because I can't, you know,
and
enjoy
it. And only buy it on my website. This isn't because otherwise I don't make a penny off of it.
This is good to know, people. Okay, but let me ask you a question. I saw on your website that we can buy this limited edition that's signed and very
that's
fancy.
The one.
Okay, but when that runs out, we can't get any more. Then we have to buy it from the regular perfumier.
Yes. Well, when I get paid in scent, so it is.
Oh, it. Okay. Okay. Right. So they'll. Okay. So if we can continue to buy it from you
for a while, yeah.
For a while,
I just get tired of selling it.
But then there will be. But there's also, you guys can go to the website and we'll put it up. There's, it's signed, and there's also a still, this amazing photograph, which you can
see
on.
Right, the packaging on my website is completely different from the
completely
commercial
different.
Packaging.
Right, so it's actually truly a kind of a collector's edition. Mm-hmm. Maybe buy one to use and buy one to keep in the box for, you know, some eBay, I don't know, in a decade or two.
That's right.
I'm always thinking about you, my reader, my listeners, on your behalf. Okay, we're out of time.
Oh, no.
I know. Well, we had a lot more to talk about, but we got to go. And I just really appreciate you taking the time for being on my show and sharing your art with all the world.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm glad that that we finally got to do it. And congratulations on your book as well.
Thank you. Justin Vivian Bond is a writer, singer, painter, performance artist, and activist. V's albums, including Dendrophile, which you heard a piece of today, are available all over the place and on iTunes. V's new show, Mix America, will play at Joe's Pub September 20th to October 5th. Tickets are on sale now. You can find out more about all of this and V's new perfume, The Afternoon of a Fawn, at justinbond.com. On Facebook, follow V at facebook.com/justinvivianbond. And on Twitter, at Mix, that's MX, Justin V. Bond. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. And you can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett, my engineers Joel and Matt, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be BDSM educator and creator of the Academy of SM Arts, Cleo Dubois. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.